It makes you feel so proud that you could cry.
As Perry Cairo sings, smell of pine trees in the air, never knew a day so fair. And that's because the bluest skies in Seattle have always paired so nicely with the city's groves and forests. And it just so happens that our resident historian Felix Bunnell is here with news of a book that's just been published all about our beloved street trees.
Yes, this new book, it's released just yesterday. It's called Street Trees of Seattle, an illustrated walking guide. I went out the other day with author Taha Ibrahimi to look at and talk about street trees. A couple things first. Now, street trees mean trees in the right of way, like the parking strip between the street and the sidewalk. Or it could be a tree in someone's yard, but that extends out over the sidewalk or the street. That's a street tree. Now, these aren't hidden away. The trees in this new book are all very accessible to everyone. Second thing, what I like about Taha's approach, something we've run across before. This is where a passionate person compiles and interprets data to create order and communicate a sense of history and place. You might remember in the past we profiled the guy who wrote histories of every single post office that ever existed in Washington. Or there's a family down in Oregon now in its third generation of compiling the origins of every single place name in that state. This book fits into that category and belongs on your shelf next to those books. Now, these resulting books aren't just data. They tell a story. They give you a guide to see things for yourself. So in talking with Taha Ibrahimi the other day, she said there's something about Seattle trees most people don't know that goes back to the 19th century.
Most of Seattle was clear cut, and only 5% of our street trees are native to this region. So most of what you see everywhere is planted and brought from somewhere else. So there's a lot of layers of history behind the trees here. And I'm also interested in data, and when I found the publicly available data set from the city, it was fun finding out which ones were the widest trees and things like that.
Now, she mentioned the data set. That's information about street trees that the city of Seattle began compiling back in the 1950s, which they really picked up speed on in the 1990s. Now, from that data, that's where Taha was able to identify rare species, unusual species, and exceptional trees like the tallest or the widest. Now, tallest is pretty easy to understand, right? The notion of widest, says Taha Ibrahimi, it needs a little bit of explaining.
Anytime I meet a tree person, the first thing they ask me is, like, what do you mean by widest? You know, and some people measure a tree by the drip line, like the ends of each branches. Some people measure a tree by the circumference of its trunk. But the standard way, apparently, is to measure the diameter. So you get the circumference, you calculate the diameter, and you have to do it from 4.5 feet up from the ground, and that is called diameter at breast height. And 4.5 feet is the standard breast height. And there's even an acronym, DBH.
And don't worry, this won't be on the midterm.
I'm taking notes.
Now, the place you met up is the giant Wedgwood Rock at 28th Avenue Northeast. That could be a story all unto itself. But this is giant glacial erratic as big as a cottage. Now, standing right next to the Wedgwood Rock is the second widest Atlas Cedar in Council District 4.
So you can tell the Atlas Cedar by these short needles, and they're in bushels along the branch. You see that? Instead of coming out of the branch. And I see some male cones here, but they usually have these upright kind of round cones, and I don't see any in this tree right now. I'm looking around. I see no evidence right now.
I love that the tree data is by council district, so it's like you can vote for your favorite tree. I like the old at-large days. Anyway, now, Taha's new book, it's not a catalog or a dry database on paper. She's got backstories of all kinds of different trees. She's drawn all these sketches. She's a very talented artist. You could sit and read it, you know, from cover to cover. You could use it to take a particular walking tour or just dip into it anywhere and read about one particular tree or neighborhood. Now, we did a bit of a whirlwind driving tour of Northeast Seattle. We saw that Atlas Cedar by the Wedgwood Rock, then a giant monkey puzzle tree. We saw a giant oak tree that overhangs an entire intersection, just incredible tree. Then we popped down a little side street to visit a tree Taha hadn't actually seen in person before, a giant sequoia, which to her surprise and delight turned out to be a weeping giant sequoia.
Oh my God, it's so weird looking. It's right here. Oh my God, it's so cool. It looks like a Muppet.
Yeah. Oh. I thought it kind of had a Dr. Seuss quality to it. It's one of these, it just looks like a branch kind of coming out of nowhere. It's just really curvy, crazy trees. Now, trees have been in the news a lot around here lately. You know, the Seattle City Council has that tree ordinance. It's confusing a lot of people. There's people protesting to protect trees from construction projects. The unfortunate removal of the old cherry trees at Pike Place Market last year. Trees clearly touch a nerve for a lot of people. And Taha says, you know, based on the reception to this book, I mean, it's been everywhere. This book, there's so much excitement about this book. We do love our trees in Seattle, but she says we're not really seeing the big picture, not seeing the forest, you know, let's say, of other important issues related directly to trees and why we should be more focused on taking care of trees in Seattle, because they take care of us.
Most of all, I think like the mental health well-being benefits that they found are really, really amazing. Being within 320 feet of a tree gives you a better life expectancy and a lower chance of being prescribed antidepressants. And there is just like so many studies about it. It's overwhelming, you know? So if you imagine all these benefits, we're not calculating the cost of those benefits when we're thinking about trees. We're thinking of them as these things that are like easily replaceable.
You know, and I want to end this on a very Seattle moment. As I was standing there with Taha next to a tree, a man rode by on a bicycle. He turned his head toward us and obviously recognized Taha, so he stopped and he hopped off.
Who's that? Alec Duxbury, get over here. That's my old English teacher. I'm getting interviewed for Cairo. That's hilarious. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. This is Felix. Felix Bunnell. Okay, this is so Seattle. I hope you're recording this.
This was an English teacher who saw the future, you know, 25, 30 years ago, that Taha would someday write a book about something. This guy was, it was no surprise that Mr. Duxbury going by on his bike, it was a very Seattle moment. I'm glad I could share it and bring it to all of you.
This entire story, and I say this with all the love in my heart, her excitement and about dorkiness.
Yes.
I love that so much. Yeah. I love nerds who are excited about being nerds.
It's all about the data set.
Oh, it's all about the data set.
Yeah, and trees are great. You know, and the book's printed on paper. I pointed out that irony, but you know, sometimes you have to have trees that are sustainable that can be used for books. So it's a great book. I'm sure it's going to be set the gift world by storm this year. It's just one of the greatest recent books about Seattle history through the data, which is really cool.
I always think when I fly back into Seattle how lucky we are that we have so many trees. Because I used to live on the East Coast, and you'd fly into cities there and you'd just be like, gosh, that's so barren.
Yeah, you take off, it's all brown, and you get into Seattle and it's all green. Yeah, no, it's a great thing for this city to have a book like this finally that lays it all out. And all these trees are publicly accessible. And you can just thumb through it, pick a tree you want, pick a neighborhood, and walk through it. It covers the entire city. A really cool book.
And you're so right. Each neighborhood had its own tree character, too.
Yep.
I think I actually feel it when I'm in a different neighborhood. We lived on Beacon Hill. We've lived in Montlake. And they're both very different tree neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
And I feel that.
Yep. And tonight, there's a kickoff event at Elliott Bay Bookstore for this Seattle Street Trees of Seattle Illustrated Walking Guide. And Taha's got all kinds of events she's appearing at over the next several months. Get out there and get the book. Get out and actually walk around and see the trees in person and appreciate what we have.
Love it. Felix Bunnell, thank you very much. Now.